Welcome, everybody, to the PlayStation 5 Central podcast, where we give you all the news, the reviews, and the on the PlayStation 5 and its upcoming games. Today, we are joined by Marky Mark Wahlberg. How are you, mate?
I'm about to go Christopher Walken. That's not...
Hold on. Sorry, I've got it wrong. That's next week. This week, we have Bane from the Dark Knight trilogy. Bane
from the Dark... Oh. People are wrong.
How are you, mate? What's Bane's real name? I actually don't know his... What's his Tom actual... Hardy. Eduardo.
Eduardo, yeah, because he's... Spanish. He's Hispanic. I don't know if he's Mexican or Hispanic, but yeah, he's Hispanic.
All right, just me and Jordan today. I'm obviously Dan.
Yeah,
you know me, and this is Jordan. You know him. And today we're going to be discussing a few little bits and pieces. We're going to start off with Hogwarts Legacy, as you can see by the title of this episode. I have finished the game. Jordan is a little way through. We're both enjoying our time with it.
Yeah,
I'm still going. I've put 35 hours in, and I've got to say it's nice and refreshing to explore Hogwarts in this sort of way. How are you finding the game, Jordan, with your early time?
Yeah. So I'm very early, but it's got this. It's not even really having seen any of the world that I'm about to explore, but knowing, so having that preconceived idea of what it's going to be like. Yeah. Already, I'm very excited. And just with some of the seeds that have been laid already, like there's some things that are said and done and that you look at when you're in that opening part of the game. You're like, well, I think we're coming back here later. That's going to mean something a little bit later on. So, yeah, I'm very, very excited. It looks good. That brings me to a question we might talk about later. All the different the visual modes, which one you're using. We can come back to that later. But I really like what I'm seeing so far. I never thought I'd care as much about what house I was going to be in because I've never done the test to see what house I'd be in or anything like that. And I don't have a Pottermore thing. So I didn't link that.
Yeah. But what did you choose in the end?
Well, so I answered the two questions and it put me in Ravenclaw and I was going to be like, wow. Oh, okay. I almost just went, boom, done it. Then I thought about it and I was like, oh, wouldn't I prefer to be like, it makes sense. Like, you know, Harry was in Gryffindor. I should be in Gryffindor. And then I was like, wait a minute, but this isn't Harry's story. Oh, pardon me if you can hear my dogs in the background.
That's all right. That's
like,
all right.
This isn't Harry's story. This should be my character's story. And I did the same thing that I always do, which is for every game that asks you to make a character, I always make a Targaryen from Game of Thrones every time. I go the bleach white hair. And all that.
Hey, that looks good. I like that look. Yeah.
But then I was like, I looked at the name and I was like, well, it's not very Harry Potter like. So I changed it to Rhaegarius Targaryen. So that was who I went with.
Mine seems boring now. Dan Allen. Fucking hell. Just with a normal generic. Well, that's my name. I couldn't even put a fucking beard on him. He just looked like some kid. It was bad.
I was thinking this. I was like, that's so weird that you can't put a beard on him. Why is that? And I was like, oh, wait, he's only supposed to be 15.
He's 15. Oh, no wonder.
15 or 16.
Oh,
yeah.
God. Yeah, I was looking for the beard options. I wanted a massive beard. Mate, I usually like to age them a little bit, give them a bit of a tan, maybe a couple of tattoos. I don't have any tattoos, but I like to think all my characters have an arm sleeve for some reason. And so
I know. You usually like to go super silly with it. I remember COD, when you used to be able to make your emblems and stuff, you'd always go super silly with it and have like all sorts of profanity going on. And I remember I had the same emblem on Black Ops from start to finish. It was the faint, like the different colored phoenixes going out.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, I remember that. There was these tutorials on YouTube where you could make the Batman symbol and take you fucking 20 minutes to put it together and you'd be sick of it after a couple of days. And
yeah,
funny times. But you couldn't do that now, could you? Because people just do dicks and Yeah, you just, whenever you can do something like that, the first thing people do is draw a dick. And I'm not trying to be stupid. That is what people do.
It is.
That's just the culture.
It 100% is.
Isn't it?
They just
ruin
it.
It's so dumb, but it's the first thing people think of. It's just...
Yeah.
No,
yeah.
I ended up going Slytherin because I wanted to do an evil playthrough for YouTube. That was the main reason. I would have gone Gryffindor. So you went Gryffindor?
No. So I was going to go Gryffindor. And then I was like, no. This isn't Harry. This is like my character now. I'm going to go Ravenclaw because that was when it put me in after it asked me the two questions.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, that was what I went with.
Yeah, I put a poll out. It was pretty even, actually, between Slytherin, Gryffindor, and Ravenclaw. The one that was falling behind was Hufflepuff.
Yeah.
It was like 30-30-30, really.
Because Hufflepuff is what you used to do after recess at school.
Is Hufflepuff like... That? Is Hufflepuff just the bit of the lost child? I think so.
Oh, sorry. That was Huff and Puff. Do you remember that at school? After Huff recess, you go Huff and Puff, which
that's
is
what you're talking about.
Run around the oval or whatever. Sorry, that's my bad.
I haven't seen many Hufflepuff playthroughs, but I know Slytherin, I don't think it really changes depending on what you choose. I don't think there's even missions. I think it's just in terms of some of the unlocks you can get.
You and me being the trophy people, I looked at the trophy guide beforehand to see whether there was anything I was going to miss, if I needed to do anything at the start. And it says that you need to do 4 partial playthroughs because you need to do, well, no, 3 partial playthroughs and 1 full one because there's something you need to unlock in each.
Yeah. What were they thinking? That is the dumbest trophy I've ever seen.
My mic's just fallen off there.
That's a really dumb trophy when I saw that. And I use Powerpex. He's a friend of mine. I've known him for years. I don't know if that's the one you're thinking of. But he does great trophy guides. He said 60 to 80 hours and 4 partial playthroughs because you got to get to a certain stage in each house. It's so dumb. I just don't know why, because it would have been okay if it's like a 10, 20 minute, but it's 2 hours for each one. So it's like an extra 6 hours of the same shit. Mm. I think it's trying to make you do all the houses, but when there's not enough of a difference for us to care, everything else about the trophies I think are pretty good. I think there is a glitch trophy at the moment, which they'll fix.
Oh, that's a shame.
There is a lot of collectibles in this game, but I actually don't mind. I was having this discussion with myself, as I do when I'm playing games. No, I was discussing this with another friend. We were just talking about how he said to me, "Isn't this just a Ubisoft game, Dan?" And I said, "No, because this actually executes properly.
Mm-hmm.
Ubisoft don't execute." Because we also had this debate with Ghost of Tsushima. A viewer wrote in and said, "Well, Ghost of Tsushima is just like a Ubisoft game." The reason we're calling it a Ubisoft game is that execution isn't there, that polish, or that there's something missing with their games. That's what people are talking about when they say Ubisoft.
Usually games. Also very surface level. Like in terms of the story, the single player story is usually a very blockbustery action story, and there's not much more to it than that. Now, like, I haven't played an Assassin's Creed in a long time, like a full one, like to the end.
And that's because of this reason I'm talking about, isn't it?
Yeah. Like, there's no real heart to it. And I know that people, like, I shouldn't say there's no, but I never found
no,
any
I
real
think
heart to
I would
it.
Sort of agree. They are missing the heart of it. I think you're right. Yeah. That might be the big thing.
Yeah. Mm. Like, if you think of the games that people would say, "Oh, isn't that just a Ubisoft game?" So go back to Ghost. Jin was an extremely compelling character. He had a terrific backstory and he had terrific motivations for what was going on. And then it was all very personal and it was Jin's story. And all of the other things, the checkbox elements were an accoutrement, if you will, to the whole story in general. So and it built into the thematics of the story. Whereas a lot of like Ubisoft stuff, it's like, yes, it might be something that thematically matches, but it doesn't really add to anything. And it's just sort of there. Like if you think of the Division is like I had a lot of fun with the Division 2, but it is really a very, like, at its very core.
It's the repetitiveness, isn't it?
It's the same thing with
Ghost Recon. Did you ever play that series, the last few?
No.
They're the most repetitive games you could ever play in your life. They're so repetitive. Shoot, clear out, get the stuff, leave. It's unbelievable how repetitive it is. They don't change anything up.
Nope.
And the story's generic, and you just end up playing 5 to 10 hours and you give up. You're trying to make your own fun, whether it's something like Hogwarts is in this rich, dense world that we've never really explored. Well, I haven't in a game like this.
No,
what's
I haven't
outside
either.
Of Hogwarts? I've always wanted to know. And now I'm finding out those answers. Whether it's a Ubisoft game or a game like that, the worlds they put you in also seem to be very bland a lot of the time. Yeah. So that's why that thing. Now, this is coming from me, who I actually have enjoyed the last Assassin's Creed games, which also get lumped into that. I don't think it's right that they should get lumped into that sort of Ubisoft game pile. I think it's more for games like the Watch Dogs, the Ghost Recons, maybe the Far Cry's even, you know.
Like Division.
Division, yeah.
Yeah. The Crew. Didn't The Crew fall into the same thing?
Yeah, where even The Crew. Yeah, it's a racing cars. Game, but it still falls into that world. Yeah. So,
yeah.
No, I'm really enjoying it. I really am. They've put a lot of work into Hogwarts and Hogsmeade and the actual detail in terms of just the little references and things that you can interact with. And I love when there's random events in games. It's the smallest thing, but you can go to a town and there'll be this musician that plays, you can tip him. And then you'll go to another town, you'll see the musician again, you tip him again, he's got more instruments than last time because you tipped him.
Yeah.
Things like that, that creates
a
rich world that feels real.
Yeah, that's fun. Another thing I've enjoyed really early on is seeing not characters we know, because we don't know them, but they're like, we know the last name. So like before you even get to Hogwarts, and I don't think this is a spoiler, but there's someone that's like last name Weasley already there at the school. And you're like, oh, that's sick. And then like the headmaster, his last name is Black. And you're like, oh, I know who you
connections,
are.
Connections, yeah. But not the characters, just connections.
Yeah, not the characters, but the connections. And yeah, it's fun. It's a lot, like it's just fun. I'll tell you what, like we'll keep going with it. We'll keep just flowing from here. The combat is already so much more fast-paced and fun and engaging than I really thought it was going to be. I think when this was coming out, I was looking at it, it's like, how fun is this really going to be? Like, is it just going to be a third-person shooter with a wand? But it's really better. It's better than that. We said it was going to be Elden Ring, but like with a magic style, like if you played a mage build, and it's better than that as well. It's fast-paced.
It's a lot more fast-paced than I anticipated. Yeah, yeah. And that's such
lots of tapping, but I'm sure once you get a lot more spells, which you could probably speak to, it becomes a lot different. And like, do they do the thing where there's some spells that don't affect certain enemies and you have to like be able to switch up on the fly and that sort of thing?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, you need to break their different, it's all color coded, which it sounds basic, but I love that when it's just
it
laid
sounds
out
basic,
like that.
But it's not like, but sometimes it's better than just being like, oh, this is a flame enemy. This is a frost enemy.
Yeah,
this is an electric enemy.
Yeah.
Like sometimes that works a little bit better. Like,
you know what? There isn't much enemy variety in the game, but I don't know. It just seems to they got the pacing so right in terms of puzzles and cutscenes into gameplay, into big boss fights. And there is a lot of puzzles in this game, and they're not easy, some of them. You might even have to look some up for some people if you're impatient. They're not, they're not too bad, but
not like what was that game that came out on the PS4? The Witness. They're not like the Witness level.
No, they're not like the Witness was fucked. Oh man, that pulled my hair out doing that game. Because I did that without a guide. Fuck, I don't recommend that.
Hey, unless just quickly on enemy variety as well. Do you reckon enemy variety is only a problem if you notice it and it's a problem? Like it's not always a negative.
Well, for example, we're not talking about enemy variety in Call of Duty. They've had the same fucking human soldiers for 20 years. Yeah. No one goes,
think about Mario.
Oh, I'd love to see more enemy variety in COD. You don't really think of that, do you?
No.
It's only when it stands out. Yeah.
Yeah, like Mario has like the same number of enemies that you play against in every game, but that's never really a problem because it's like it's fine. It's fun still. And there's enough there.
That's usually when that comes into play, it's usually, I feel like survival horrors like a Dead Space, you notice it. if you're just coming up the same enemy, because then you're desensitized to the scares and it becomes a run of the mill, or it's not giving you any more challenges. So Hogwarts does it well, where they slowly add different enemies in and amp up things, and they increase the volume of enemies. And there is some points where you've got to manage a lot of different things, and you've got all these spells to work with as well. So you've got to pick which ones you want, and there's different talents that you can choose, so different ways you can go. You actually can't unlock all the talents in one playthrough.
Thank goodness.
So you actually it actually means something every time you're unlocking a skill, which I like.
Love that as well.
I don't like when you can just, because if you can reset it, or if you can get everything, then I'll just end up picking, I can get that later, or I can get this later.
Yeah.
This one, you got to think about it, because you've only got a certain amount of points. You know?
And it actually makes for personalization and not the illusion of personalization, where like God of War had that system where, like, yes, you can choose, you can prioritize, but it's not personalized because you're going to get everything anyway. Whereas in a game like this, where you're not able to unlock, I'm sure maybe is it eventually you can unlock everything? Or is it just
eventually you'll be missing a few.
Yeah. See, I like that. I like that. It means you personalize the way you want to play and the way your character works. Yeah. So I much prefer that.
Yeah. And they've nailed the open world. As I said, Hogwarts is one of the best areas in a game I've played in a long time. I can spend hours just walking around. I kind of wish it was even bigger.
Did it feel big walking around the actual castle?
Yeah, it's massive. I'm still discovering secrets within it. You know,
there was
just this door that, you know, when you press it and you can sort of see where things are.
Magic.
Yeah, well, this one I couldn't see, and you walk through and there's a door there. So they're still hiding things from you as well.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's fantastic. I highly recommend the game.
Talk about the performance. Yeah.
I always now go for frame rate over anything.
Me too.
I made that decision for PS5.
Yep. I was always a, not performance. What's the other one? Fidelity. I was always fidelity over it, because I'm like, I want it to look great. I don't mind playing at 30 FPS, but I want it to look great.
Yeah.
And I think it was Spider-Man that changed my mind. PS5 came out. When Miles came out.
Yeah.
That was the one that changed my mind. And like watching Miles swing around and then watching it, pardon me, in 30 FPS and then in 60, I was like, no, I can't do 30. It needs to be 60. And now like every time I try, I'm going to try the fidelity, and I try and I go, nah, can't do this. Needs to be high frame rate.
So you're the same. You went for the frame rate.
Yeah, I wanted to try the ray tracing one to see what that was like, but I think the frame rate's still low on that. So I think I'm just going to do performance and that's it.
It is a shame that we can't get both. We can't get a 60 frame that looks good. Yeah. I thought we would still get that if a PS5. You know, some games
it still
do
looks
have
great.
It still looks great. Don't get me wrong. I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, but did Horizon have similar options as well? And same with...
Yeah, I think so.
All these games are having this sort of option, really. Is there been a game that just had 60 frames and no options? You know what I mean?
Not on the PS5, no. Oh, there might be some games, but like in terms of AAA games, no, they give you the option.
It's also concerning for Starfield, because Starfield doesn't have 60 frame option on console, on Xbox.
Yeah. The thing is, though...
Concerning a little bit.
No one's expecting Starfield to be the best looking game ever, and no one, like, if you are, you're going in with the wrong.
No, but they don't have 60 frames at all, Jordan.
Yeah, well, that's disappointing. Yeah, when you think about it that way, that really is disappointing. Yeah. And I get that it's a big world and it's huge and stuff, but like, yeah, just seems like Bethesda's. I know that they have, such large expansive worlds for people to explore and stuff, but they're always just seen behind the eight ball with like mechanics and stability. Yeah. And fidelity and performance. I totally get the world, but like, wouldn't you want the world to be a little bit smaller if it meant it ran a bit smoother, there was some less bugs and like that sort of thing? Like I know I would
definitely,
but then I know I'm not the person playing Starfield, so there is that as well.
Yeah, Hogwarts looks pretty good. It's not setting the house on fire. And nor does it have to. It does everything that it needs to do, in my opinion. I think, remember, it was built during COVID, so they had to take, I found this out recently, they had to take some shortcuts in terms of facial capture. So you notice with some of the facial captures a bit wonky at times. That's because it was quite tough the way they did it. They had to build sort of rigs for home and do the voice acting with the facial at home. It sounded like a nightmare from what I heard. But the biggest disappointment about the game for me is probably the main story. So the
That's not something I want to hear.
Let me finish. The main quest line in terms of the lore, what's happening behind the scenes in Hogwarts, that part I didn't really care for. But the character work with some of the main side quests with some of the students is where the game shines. That's great, some of those missions. Mm-hmm. With the one with Sebastian, the Slytherin guy, where you unlock the unforgivable curses. That's a great storyline, much better than the main game. That's a fantastic side quest. The one with Poppy Sweetings, another fantastic side quest with centaurs and dragons and all sorts of shit. And then you got another one with Natty. So they're just those ones I definitely recommend. They're like the main side quests, the main three. But the actual main story, the missions are fun. It's just I didn't really care all that much about what was going on and sort of the inner workings of it all, if that makes sense. Yeah.
Does the bad guy come off as sort of just like...
Yeah, he's
stereotypical bad
guy. Stereotypical, yeah.
I'm bad guy. I'm bad guy Magoon.
Yeah, he did. But I mean, the boss fight that he had was fun at the end. I love the boss fight. Yeah. Okay. So, but him as a villain, he has about 10, 20 minutes of screen time. You know, he pops up every now and again and he's just a goblin, really. Yeah. So they're probably the biggest drawbacks. Besides that, I've only got high praise for it, really.
Yep. So moving forward, this is going to see a sequel years from now, for sure. In the short term, do you see DLC? Do you see is there room, do you think, with our character? Or do you think there could be room with like another character that you play as?
I think I'd love to see some DLC or some support, because you've got this gear system in the background running. And if you're upgrading your character and you've got, because by the way, there's this thing that you get in the game called the Room of Requirements, where you can get beasts and breed beasts and upgrade your gear at this place and get potions. So all that sort of stuff you can do at your little home base.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you'd hope that there's support for it so you can keep adding to that base, you know, keep adding different things, more missions possibly down the road. And because otherwise, eventually you get to a point where you're so overpowered, you got all the potions, your house is fully stacked. But I guess it is a single player game like that. That is what it is, you know. By that time, you've beaten the game and that's it. It doesn't always need to be DLC. You know, you and me aren't really a big fan of DLC.
No.
Because I find it hard to play 80 hours of a game and then come back to it a year later. That's just me.
And it's hard to come back and relearn. I played the absolute mess out of Bloodborne, platinumed it, put like 90 hours into it. And then they released, that was on launch, and then they released the Old Hunters DLC. I think that's what it was called. And like, it wasn't even that long after, I'm sure it was like a year after, tried to get back into it, played for an hour and got absolutely torched, and I never went back.
That's the thing. And I think that's what it is. It's for harder games or games that have a bit of a learning curve. That's the hardest part. Because
Horizon,
you're 100% right.
Going back to play Frozen Wilds a year on, it wasn't exactly a year, but going back to try and play that was a nightmare because I'd forgotten like what everything did. So I don't know if I'm going to do Burning Shores. I'm going to need to see what the general buzz is for it. I don't actually own Forbidden West at the moment either. I sold it, which I just sold Elden Ring as well.
Yeah.
Because I don't really hang on to my games. I like to sort of keep them going so I can buy more and play more. So
yeah, you're not really a physical collector for games anymore.
No, I used to be. But now that I've got my own house, I'm like, there's other things I'd rather collect than that. So
you still do pop vinyls? No.
Some, they're not all gone. I've got quite a few left still, but they've been in the process of going.
Oh, you're selling, yeah.
Yeah.
Are you selling other old games like PS3, PS4?
I've got like some PS3 games, and it's like it's at the stage now where it's like there's no point me getting rid of them because it'd be like
you get $5
pennies on the dollar. Yeah, no, less than that probably. So it's like I've got the Uncharted's, I've got the God of War's.
Oh, Uncharted's would be worth thousands, right?
Infamous. I've got the Infamous game. So I've got those and I'm like, I'll hang on to them. That's fine. But yeah. Yeah. So I would like to see like as I'd like to see DLC, but just not too late. I feel like if they
my thing is don't give us DLC trophies.
Oh yeah. See, I got that's a hill. See, that's a hill I don't care about because I'd never care. Like I'm just like, oh, it's whatever. It's too far down my list now for me to even care about.
See, I have to get the 100%. So I've got the OCD about me. And I'm so pissed, Jordan, because I did the Callisto Protocol. I got the platinum. You know, it wasn't a hard platinum. I've got to say it was quite easy. And then I added in, they added in a new game plus trophy. So I had to go back and do that. And then as soon as I did that, they add another new DLC for the hardcore mode. So I could have just waited a month and done the hardcore new game plus. So now I'm going to play it again. And they're killing me. It's like, guys, why are you doing this to me?
They hate you.
They do. Every game I play gets a DLC trophy, like literally every game. So
yeah. I'm used to it. That's going to be like me, just not care.
Yeah. I think eventually one day that's going to have to happen, Jordan. But yeah, so no, I am thoroughly enjoying the game. And as I said, I'm about 35 to 40 hours in and there's still plenty to do and it's still enjoyable. So that's a pretty good sign, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah.
In terms of a sequel though, I don't know about a sequel. Like, because would it lose the magic, Jordan, when you have, we've already explored Hogwarts. You know what I mean? We've already.
Yeah.
What would they do
it'd be
next?
Cool if they, it'd be cool if they did like a wizarding sequel. Like if they did another school. Like what if instead.
Are there other schools like Hogwarts?
It's not Hogwarts, but there is Durmstrang, which I'm pretty sure is in like Bulgaria or something like that.
Okay.
Which is, that was in Harry Potter 4 when they have the Triwizard Cup. There's two schools that come to Hogwarts to play in the Triwizard Cup. So there's Durmstrang and then...
Of course there's other schools. What am I thinking of?
Yeah, there's a French one.
But what's, you know what I was thinking of, Jordan? That what if they just did a Harry Potter game with this sort of stuff? I mean...
They could.
Cast a new Harry, cast a new Hermione, like get some... And do a trilogy of games or something like that. With this sort of gameplay.
It was Beauxbatons Academy of Magic. So one was a, I think one was, Durmstrang was a male-only school, I think. And Beauxbatons was a, but I think Beauxbatons was both. But yeah, they could go like way, way back in time because they're running into the same problem that a lot of things in like Star Wars run into where we know what happens to an extent. So nothing too cataclysmic or world-ending can happen.
With the characters. Is that what you're saying? Okay.
Yeah. You know what I mean?
So that's why they probably won't do a Harry Potter game because it would have to be the same as the movies or something.
It'd just have to be the same, yeah.
Yeah. Which is wouldn't be a bad thing, would it? Coming up against Voldemort in this sort of game? I think it'd be fun.
That could be fun, but then you also know how it's going to go. Like, you know that he's going to, like, you know the beats.
We know how The Last of Us show's going, and I got to say, that's a phenomenal show.
What a great show.
Episode 5 was pretty damn good.
Oh, man. Traumatizing. That night scene. Oh, my goodness.
My girlfriend was on the edge of her seat the entire episode. She had no idea what was going to happen. She was. Yeah. She actually audibly gasped at that moment at the end. Mm. You know what I'm talking about? So,
yep.
Yeah, no. So it can be done, but... Yeah, they didn't. I was surprised they didn't really mention Voldemort or Harry. I mean, they're not alive, are they? So they can't.
No,
but...
no, not even because not even Tom Riddle would be alive. I wonder if maybe, like, again, I have not played it and I don't know how familiar you are with it all, but like whether Tom Riddle's parents are mentioned at all. Was any Potter mentioned?
No. They stayed away.
They made this clear at the beginning of the game. And I know that there was some discourse about this. Quidditch. Does that happen at all during the game?
No, and that is one glaring thing that's missing. And I wonder, did they have to get rid of it? Did something not? Because they've got the Quidditch pitch there. Is it just too hard to develop? Was it just too hard?
It was
hard
a pretty lame excuse for why Quidditch isn't in it. Like, there's a story-based reason for why it's not in it.
Someone's got an injury, right?
Yeah. And I was just like, yeah, they're like, oh, because of how badly someone was injured last year, Quidditch won't be happening. It's like, oh, go on. Give it a rest.
It's like saying LeBron's out. Oh, the NBA's been cancelled, guys. Yeah.
Yeah, you're Wizards. Like, come on. Give it a rest.
Yeah, meanwhile, our character's taken on like hundreds of goblins and dark wizards and fine. No,
do you know what could be cool? Quidditch DLC.
Well, that's... Yeah, I feel like that could happen, but...
Yeah.
It's hard to know because... I feel like it would be a hard...
constraint thing.
Would it be hard to develop a Quidditch game, do you think?
Actually, when you think about it, Quidditch is such a stupid game that, like, who would want to play as the beaters? Like, who wants to play as the seeker? Just stand and, like, you'd have to come up with different mini games for each player to do during the game, but then still make it mesh into one experience. So
that's what I'm saying. I think the idea of Quidditch sounds good, but executional wise, I feel like they would have to change the game for it to be fun for a player.
Mm. Because there's a lot of sitting around. Like, you're only really having fun if you are a player whose name, the position I can't think of, the ones who like chuck the quaffle around. Can't think what their name is.
Yeah, but even then you would have to develop, because this is a single player game, you'd have to develop AI.
Online infrastructure. Yeah, or AI.
No, let's just say they only do it for single player, right? So you would have to develop AI that catches the ball and throws it to you. And it sounds like a lot of work for the reward. I don't know. So I can see why they didn't do it, but it's also a bit of a missed opportunity because I know people would love to see that. And they've got the area. The area is right there, the Quidditch, whatever you call it, the pitch. But
yeah, the pitch.
Yeah, so... No, I was actually surprised with the world, this world, that how much it was like Lord of the Rings.
Yeah.
You know, and it just made me think, God, I wish they made a Lord of the Rings game like this.
Oh, my goodness. A Lord of the Rings game. So you know what? That would be one that if it was just beat for beat the game, wouldn't care. If it was beat for beat the movies, would not care.
Nah.
Or even better, spice it up a little bit and do an adaptation of the book so that way you can have things that weren't in the movies.
Correct, yeah.
Like Tom Bombadil and that sort of thing. That could be really awesome.
And now I know what people are thinking, Jordan. They're thinking, well, you've already got that guy, Shadow of Mordor and that, but it's not the same.
I want
And there's just, Shadow of Mordor is a completely different game. It's not the same as what we're thinking. I'm thinking like a Lord of the Rings game like this.
You know what they should just do? Yeah. They should do Lord of the Rings Return of the King, but do it for the three movies. Do you remember that PS2 game? What a game that was.
What a game. That was PS2?
Yeah.
Man, what's happening?
Do you remember some of those missions? They were great.
And that was a licensed game. They were supposed to be shit, aren't they?
That was EA. That was EA too.
That was when EA were thriving.
Yep.
Yeah.
That was an ace game.
Yeah. So that's another thing that popped into my head. Jeez, I would have loved a game like that.
Hey,
but
we're getting Gollum at some stage. How can we forget?
When is that coming out?
Is that coming out? I just realized. Shit. I didn't even see that on our draft or anything.
Hold on. What? We've completely forgotten about that game. Is it still coming out?
It says release date 2023.
Oh, no. They don't even have a date?
No.
Oh, my God. Shit.
Dude, on EV, this is a $100 Aussie dollar game.
Yeah, I'm not paying that. I'll tell you right now. So, Jordan, we've got an update here. Tune in March 9th for some updates on our games, and this is from Nacon. And Lord of the Rings Gollum is one of those games. So March 9th, we'll find out when it comes out.
I'll record my reactions live.
No, so overall, I definitely, for all our listeners, guys, if you're not familiar with Harry Potter or a big fan, because I'm not a big fan, I'm still working my way through the movies. I just finished Prisoners of Azkaban, which is...
The best one.
Probably the best one. I was going to say that was really good. I loved it.
Do you know what's like interesting about that one? Because that's the one that's not directed by Christopher Columbus. It's Alfonso Cuarón. Is that his name?
Well, yeah. Chris Columbus did the first two, didn't he?
Yeah. And so the tone is so different. So there's a few interesting notes with that one. So you know how like the one thing you notice is that their uniform, the way they wear it is so different in the third one. Like
why
in
is
the
that?
First, so in the first and second, they're so like proper and their ties are done up properly. Their shirts are always tucked in. So in the third one, the director said to them, to each character, like every extra or whatever, like you wear your uniform however you want. Like just you wear it. So like we'll give you the clothes and you wear it however you want, within reason, of course. So if you want to wear your tie loose, just do it. Because like we went to a private school where we had to wear ties and shirts and stuff. No one tucked their shirt in. No one had their tie done up properly. Like, let's make it look real. So yeah, that's just like an interesting note that like that's what they did to make it like a little bit more real.
Especially for the age that they were in that movie as well.
Yeah.
It makes
that's
sense.
Such a good movie. Such a good movie.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, I recommend
So creepy.
It is creepy. Yeah. Bit of a few horror elements. I was thinking, geez, I was young when I watched this. I was probably scared.
Yeah.
A little bit scared. Mm-hmm. even the first Harry Potter, there's a few.
Yeah. When that in the end bit, when they go to when they go into the dungeon.
Yeah, because the first one, Kyle I was lives. Very young when the first one came out. So, Jordan, you're going to keep pushing through this week you give us an update what you're thinking later, and I'll keep pushing through. And I'm going to keep going until, look, I'm just battling here whether to get this PSVR 2. I just don't, like, I know we're a PS podcast and one of us should, but I just don't think our listeners really care. And you guys let me know if you really want to see a review. Like, I will pick one up if you really want to see it. But I just don't see the return on investment on it. It's like $900 Australian. And yeah, I just don't think I'm going to get a $900 back in value.
No, I can't see it happening. I think it's a nice to have. It's not a must have. Like, I think it's great that they're doing it because, like, they're clearly not doing this to make millions and millions of dollars. So I think it's nice, like not nice, but I think it's good that they're doing it because there will be an audience. But yeah, it's just
how big will it be? Yeah,
yeah.
I mean, it looks impressive. Some of the games, like the kayaking game, looked all right.
Yeah,
Gran Turismo looked all right. Tetris, Horizon, the Horizon game. So there's some things to play, but I don't know. It's just not screaming out to me. And I've also got Atomic Heart coming out next week, which I am excited for. I think I'll end up playing and getting that and putting some time into that by the looks of it.
Yeah.
And then, you know, but right around the corner is Resident Evil 4 Remake. So,
yeah. Resident Evil 4 excites me. I think once it comes out and maybe on my next holidays, I think I might do 2, 3, 4.
Yeah.
Like play them back to back. Because I think after playing Dead Space, I'm ready for a bit of survival horror. Remember I started number 7 and I think I played like 45 minutes and I had to stop because I was like, I was too scared. Just couldn't do it. Just wasn't fun. So I think I might try and start again, but I might start from 2 and go through. Because I think they appeal to me a little bit more than...
2, 3 into 4 would be perfect, Jordan.
Yeah.
It really would be. Yeah. And you'll love it. And 3 is, as much as people bag 3, I think it's great. If it's short, who cares? We love short games. Let's be honest.
Yeah. Yeah.
Short games are breath of fresh air. A little bit. Like, so.
You'd definitely rather a game be too short than too long.
Before we head off today, Jordan, I just want to quickly, because you finished Dead Space, as you said.
I finished Dead Space.
What did you think in the end? What's your review?
It's so pretty. Like, for such a gross looking thing, like a gross looking ship and all the gross, like, necromorphs and stuff, like, it looks so much better than the original. I had trouble remembering what things were in the original and what things weren't. Because, like, I played the game, it would have been 10 years ago now. So I didn't play it on launch. I played it in about 2012 or 2013, the original one. And yeah, so it's been a while. So I had trouble remembering what happened in the original and what didn't. I knew that, like, Isaac didn't speak in the original and then he does in this. So, like, that's a nice addition. I don't know. It seemed like it was a little bit easier to navigate. I don't know whether that's because there was more detail, so it made it easier to differentiate areas. There are so many things about the game that's cool, though. Like the fact that you're in this ship the entire game. Like, you're just in a ship.
Well, and one of the things is you never have to take the tram in this game if you don't want to. Whereas in the last game, you would have to go into the tram to finish the chapter and then move on. In the original, yep. there'd be a loading screen. In this one, yep. you actually never see a loading screen the entire game.
Yeah, which is cool.
So that speaks to that connectivity you're talking about.
Yeah, yeah. And like the fact that like the HUD is all on your suit
oh.
and your gun. Like
I just love that when a game does that.
Yeah. That hasn't changed since the original, but that's such a cool feature. The fact like your health bar's on your back, your ammo's on your gun, like that's all there ready for you.
It's just clean, man.
Yeah.
That's what you want when it's a survival horror. You don't want to see the HUD. You want to feel like you're the character, you're in trouble.
Yeah.
You don't want to be taken out of it. Yeah.
Yeah. It's spooky, but it's not just the monsters. Like, it's the stuff that's actually gone on the ship before you got there. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, when you walk into a room and there's just like those circles with the bodies and you're like, what is going on? What happened here?
Yeah, it's very similar story-wise to the original, but they changed a few things for the better, I would say. It's very faithful remake. I think they knocked it out of the park, to be honest.
Yeah, I don't think they've done anything. I don't think it does anything worse. So it's faithful, but it enhances.
And that's
so nothing that's done worse.
That's what we want.
Yeah.
That's exactly what we want. So this has gotten you a bit back into this genre of games.
Yeah, it has a little bit. It makes me want to play like the other Dead Spaces. I'm hoping. Now, I haven't done the alternate ending that's there. So from doing the New Game Plus playthrough, I don't know if you have. So I don't know what the alternate ending is, but I wonder whether they could do a new series that spurs off from that, and that's why they've done the alternate ending. I don't know what happens in it. So whether that could be cool. Because I remember, like, I know Dead Space 1 was the classic, but I know that there was lots of positive things said about 2, because I'm pretty sure it was much harder, wasn't it? Or at least there was a mode where you can only have, like, 6 saves.
2's a tough platinum. Really 2's a tough platinum.
Yeah. And then 3 got ridiculous. 3 was like Resident Evil 6, where it was just way too actiony.
Well, and it's funny you say that. It came out a similar time. That was that day and age where everything, all those sequel of games got actiony all of a sudden.
And they got like, did Resident Evil 6 have co-op?
Yeah, they all went co-op as well.
It and it probably had an online pass. Remember those?
Yeah, it was a weird time.
Yeah,
it was a strange time. I hope that they do Dead Space 2 again and give it a similar treatment to this one. And then 3, they just completely turn 3 in its head, do something different, and then maybe they can go off. Or maybe they'll, I don't know. I don't know how well this is sold. I know it's a critical success. I don't know if it's a commercial success. So will EA invest and do more? I hope they do, because it's a good little franchise.
Maybe they could not name the next one Dead Space 2. Maybe give it a subtitle. Maybe a subtitle instead, and then you can. So then you don't have to worry. Don't even redo 2. Just do a new Dead Space that follows on from maybe the alternate ending, and then do. Then you're open to do a new 3 if the sales continue.
They got so much they could do with this. Like, we haven't explored. Like, they could go on planets and do all sorts of weird shit. Like, you're in space. You've got this lore. Do something with it. There's a lot they could do. I was a big fan. I think it'd probably be in my game of the year list. Same with Hogwarts as well. But we're very early. I don't want
to
blow the load early. Cause...
Yeah. Well, you have to think, though. Do you get to count this in your game of the year stuff? Like, at the end of the year, we probably won't be able to count Dead Space because
we didn't do
Last of Us Remake last year.
Well, that's because that was a remaster, in my opinion. I mean, it was... We can have that debate, but this one, I don't know. It might be enough to make it. I don't know. We have to have that discussion. But
my only really reason I disagree with that is that, like, The Last of Us looks like The Last of Us still looks better than Dead Space does now. Like the remake of The Last of Us looks better than the remake of Dead Space.
Yeah.
And I know that there was a longer gap in between 2008 to now than there was with Last of Us Part 1 to the remake. But yeah, I don't know. I think there's enough.
But what about Resident Evil 4? Because that's a remake.
Because I don't know. Because I haven't played them, I can't really say. I haven't played the original. I haven't played the remaster or remake. So, yeah. It's interesting because really the remake is like from the ground up that's already done, isn't it?
Yeah. Because Resident Evil 4 could easily be my game of the year if they hit like they did with RE2 remake. You know,
oh, sorry, I see what you're saying. Do we put Resident Evil 4 in the in voting contention?
In voting contention, I think
I think it'll be different enough because 2 was different, wasn't it?
So you don't think Dead Space Remake is different enough? Is that what you're saying?
No. Okay. Like it is Dead Space and it's great, but I think it's just
I see what you're saying. Yeah.
I see what you're saying. Whereas like Resident Evil 2 with that remake, wasn't it different than
you're right. They completely changed it. Yeah.
Yeah, didn't they change like puzzles and they changed the way that the game plays? Because didn't you?
Well, it's third person over the shoulder versus
like that. That's what I mean. Camera. So that's completely different.
Yeah. No, you're right. Yeah. Interesting. Well, we'll see. We'll have to have that discussion later. But they're definitely games that everyone should be playing. And guys, let us know what you're playing at the moment. I'd love to know. Hit us up on Instagram or Twitter, PS5 Central or Dan Allen Gaming. I just let me know. Whoever's on the account, we want to know what you're playing at the moment. Are you playing Hogwarts? Are you playing Dead Space? Are you picking something else up? Because I know some of you have been playing through Horizon and God of War still. Some of you have been on Callisto, Red Dead. So, yeah, let us know what you're playing. And we'll be back next week, as always. We've got a few episodes in the bank as well that we might release. Q&A episode. I actually spoke with Destroyer, who you know, Jordan. Oh, we had a 2-hour chat about Tekken that I will upload at some point and the future of Tekken. That's a very nerdy chat. So, yeah, we've got a few episodes in the bank. And Vike wants to do an episode on Ubisoft, and I think he's calling it the downfall of Ubisoft. So he's got his script ready. I mean, he's excited about this episode, Jordan.
He's very excited,
isn't he?
He's not Ubisoft, he's Ubi hard.
Yeah. So, but with that being said, everyone have a lovely week. Jordan, any final words?
No real final words. Maybe if you have a PlayStation 5 and you haven't downloaded the games from the PlayStation Plus collection that are being removed in March sometime, maybe do that. And then if you've got a friend who doesn't have a PS5 but is getting one in the near future, maybe get him to chuck you their details so that you can download the games onto their account for them before the collection closes.
Good idea. Didn't think of that. Good idea.
A little bit of a workaround because you have to have a PS5 to download those games or to add them to your library. So a little bit of a workaround there.
Nice one, Jordan. Nice one. All right, guys.
Yeah, other than that, everyone enjoy their weeks.
Happy gaming. Be nice to each other. And we'll see you next time, guys.
Later.
We'll see you
soon.